Welcome back to the Tom and Curly Show. I am Mike Lewis. Dre's is also here. This hour of the show is brought to you by Lake Washington Windows and Doors. Dre's, there are three things in this hour we are going to discuss, all of which we should consider not doing. One, wiping surfaces. Two, listening to anything recorded by Van Morrison or Eric Clapton since 1995. Or three, watching Mike Tyson fight. Let's get to the first one first on wiping surfaces. So we're having a, as everyone knows, we're having a real serious wave of infections and deaths. And we're now up to 65 deaths in the United States an hour related to the coronavirus. And the suspicion is that it is far higher than that because those are only the ones we are taking the time to count, that the infection rate and the death rate are both higher than that. One of the founding principles early on in our response to the coronavirus was this idea that touching surfaces. I know that when I walk into the studio, I immediately grab one of the wipes and I wipe down everything. Yeah. Dre's, I assume everything in your life is getting, it smells like disinfectant. Yes.
Yep. Yep. I mean, we were kind of prisoner of what we heard first, right? So we didn't actually allow our learning to grow as rapidly as it should have and to impact our practices. The first thing we heard was sterilize everything, right? Remember, I mean, we ran out and bought toilet paper for whatever reason, yeah, and we sterilized everything. And so, yeah, we're kind of still doing that, even though the science is saying that's probably not the way that this is going to happen. You know what I mean? If you're going to get it, you're much more likely to inhale it through the air than you are to touch a surface, then touch your nose, touch your mouth, you know, et cetera, and contract the COVID virus.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the big story in the New York Times about this, and let me just point you to one sentence, and this will sort of sum it up for you. There is little to no evidence that the virus is spread from surface touching. Now, they're not saying you shouldn't still wash your hands regularly because they know that you'll touch your eyes or something like that. But the fact they have seen very little evidence that if you walk in there and someone who has coronavirus touches a countertop and then you touch that countertop, that's almost the spread of that, as far as I can tell scientifically, is non-existent. However, if that person were to breathe on you or cough on you, that's existent, and that's the way that these super spreader events happen. It's mostly through what they refer to as aerosol or something that you're exhaling in some fashion and not something that you are touching. Yet, schools and businesses like this one, I'm sure all over the city, and including if you walk into, we talked earlier about Black Friday and Nordstrom. If you walk into Nordstrom, they are wiping down everything all the time. I know when we were still open with the bar, we were wiping down everything all the time. Yeah. That's actual real money that people are spending. And
yeah.
And let me ask you this, Dre's. I mean, do you think that there is a, so one of the things I argued about is when early on, it's kind of reversed, because remember early on, the mask idea was considered maybe necessary, but maybe not vital. And the wiping down was considered necessary, and that reversed itself. Now, the wiping down is not considered scientific because now we have more information. I actually don't mind that change. I'm glad that we're looking at it and figuring out what's actually happening here. However, is there a value? Does it serve as a, in your mind, does it serve as a good reminder to still do a lot of these things so everyone remembers, hey, this is the situation that we're in right now?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, we're humans, and something tangible is always important to us, right? We need a story. We need something to believe. We need something to hang it on. Well, we need something tangible, and having that hand sanitizer and people wiping things down, it makes you feel safer, right? And then it is a reminder, serves as a good reminder. Interesting enough, I remember when the pandemic had first hit and I had went to a Target, and I was super paranoid, I guess. And thank God I was. I just would wear a mask, right? I was like, man, I'm wearing a mask. And this is when they were selling do not wear masks. And I remember there was a lady, we were standing in line to get toilet paper, of course.
Of course.
We were standing in line, and the lady who worked at Target was just, she was like walking down the line, and she's like, you know you don't need a mask, right? You know you don't need a mask. And I was just kind of looking like, dude, leave me alone, man. I want to wear the mask. Like, they're saying all over the news and on the radio that you don't need a mask, people. And I was the only, my wife and I were the only ones with masks. My wife almost lost her everything and gave the lady a piece of her mind. But it was just kind of like, yeah, think of how much information, the misinformation, and how much growth and spread of the virus happened just in that amount of time, when they could have simply said, let's be cautious, right? If you say, let's be cautious, then everyone wears a mask and we're okay. But they didn't do that. It was mismanagement. It was kind of like, we know how this works. Here's what you do. And they didn't. Right. They were wrong. They put out the wrong information for months. People died who did not have to die. These are not small mistakes. These are huge mistakes that should not have been made. So I get passionate about it. I remember one other story. I was watching the Red Table Talk and watching, just to give people some understanding of what, when you say aerosol spray and sneezing and what can be done. And I was watching the Red Table Talk, and there was a doctor on there trying to explain an outbreak of something. This was back when they didn't think it was airborne, but what airborne would be like. And he said one study he saw, they were at a baseball game, right? This was an outbreak a while ago around the measles, right? And it was at a baseball game, and a baseball player who was playing in the game, who went up to bat, actually ended up testing positive for the measles later. No one else at the baseball game tested positive, except up on the 300th level, one section, there was a ton of people who tested positive for the measles. They said, how did that happen? There was a wind current that was blowing when he went up to bat, that was blowing air up to that level, and tons of people got it. So when you think of it like that, and you're walking down the street, if the wrong wind current comes from someplace and you're not wearing a mask, that's a way that you can get it. It's stuff like that that we're not thinking about, because we think, because I'm outside, I'm safe.
Right.
And it's like, well, if someone sneezed down the block and the wind carried it to you, you're not safe.
No, that's true. You're entirely right. Yeah, the outside thing helps it, because the air is moving, and the idea that it's circulating and also dissipating, right? That whatever is out there is getting spread widely, and your viral load is potentially lower, which they know is actually a factor here. But you're completely right.
Yeah.
You can be outside and be in every bit as much a danger as you are inside. Well, but speaking of outside, and speaking of the restrictions we've put in place, we've got, so of course, there's a couple of guys that are pushing toward the end of their careers, and understandably are frustrated at their lack of ability to tour. Of course, we're talking about Van Morrison and Eric Clapton, who have joined up on a release of an anti-lockdown single coming out in this December. Van Morrison has already released three songs, protesting the UK lockdown. Here's a bit of No More Lockdown. Whoops. There we go.
No more lockdown, no more government overreach, no more fascist police disturbing our peace, no more taking of our freedom and our God-given rights, pretending it's for our safety.
So was this the song? You're a musician.
Yes.
You do soundtracks. You know more about this stuff than anyone I personally know. Is this the song you were waiting for?
This is hot. I can't even lie. That's hot. I can't even front. It had a Ray Charles vibe, right?
So right. That's a good point, right?
Yeah, very soulful. As soon as it came on, I started doing this Ray Charles rock back and forth. I was like, wait a minute here, right? Wrong artist to be singing it if you wanted to connect. I would have written it and tried to get it to a soulful person. If John Legend sings that same thing, you're moved, right?
Yeah.
Like, or, you know,
and
it
sounds
right
plausible.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the wrong guy singing it, but I'm typically not a person for, like, writing songs for the, you know, for COVID or for, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not into people writing, you know, I can't breathe, I'm going to write a song about it, you know?
Right.
It's cool. I'm not against it, but it's kind of, I don't know. It's not me, right? And so But this was hot. This was hot. I heard it. I'm like, ah, that was hot. I just don't like them doing it. So it's kind of like.
But let me talk a bit about. Let me ask you this, because you would have a unique perspective on this. What does it feel like, especially if you are now Van Morrison and Eric Clapton? I'm guessing are both in their 70s at this particular point.
Yeah.
They are definitely nearing the end of their touring lives, even though they still would. Mm-hmm. People will still show up to see Van Morrison. They'll certainly show up to see Eric Clapton. How are they feeling right now when they see like an entire year in an indefinite period of time that they can no longer tour and go to an arena when you've spent your whole life doing that and kind of living on that energy, and not only that, living on that financially? I mean, how are they feeling right now?
It's tough. I mean, it's not just them. It's everyone. It's me. Right. And so like, it legitimately hit me. I had a whole tour planned last year. Just a wrap, scrapped, gone. I was leaving the country, all types of things happening. Scrapped, done, right? And then you're stuck in this place where, well, how do you make money? You know, thank God I do all of my writing for television, so I'm able to make a very strong living off of that. But if I didn't have that, I don't know what I would do. I don't know, right? I'd literally be, I don't know, right? It just, it happened. We've never seen anything like that. So for these guys, it's heartbreaking. It's frustrating. It's hard. I even hate to say this part. I mean, there's the legacy part of it where, yeah, you're trying to give it your last 4 or 5 years, or you know, you only have so much longer before you're done. But then there's the other part of it. Financially, some people count on those things.
Right.
When you sign up for a tour, you know, you sign up, you know, I'm about to make $20 million. Right. So I know we don't have sympathy for rich people a lot of times, but it, When you build your life around something and then it just goes from 20 million to zero, right? That's, you know, the bills don't stay at zero, right? The bills don't fluctuate with the income. The bills, and those bills are often high. They're often not just supporting themselves. They're supporting several other people. So, you know, I know you're probably not going to cry for Eric Clapton and Van Morrison, but at the end of the day, I get it. I get the pain and the frustration, because I'm an artist and I feel it myself, man. It's frustrating. I just said to my wife the other day, I cannot wait to get on a stage and perform. Can't wait.
Yeah, that is, and I feel, and particularly for musicians, especially musicians who still make their money touring, this has been brutal. This has been very, very, very difficult. These are not people who make a lot of money, frequently don't have some sort of, they're not working for a corporation where they've got a good insurance plan, all of that sort of stuff. It really compounds, and I think that's the frustration you're hearing in No More Lockdown, certainly by Van Morrison. Now, what about if your form of entertainment is fighting? And what if you are an aged out fighter who has set up a match with another aged out fighter between 54-year-old Mike Tyson, 51-year-old Roy Jones Jr. Let me actually just play a little bit of sound. Here's an excerpt from a piece on the upcoming fight.
Boxing is a brutal sport. He dominated. His legs are huge. His thighs are huge. His arms are huge. His neck is huge. So it's like, it's very risky, yes, but God's in control of all. I was beating everybody in every week class I was in. What's she gonna do? It's like David and Goliath. He's a giant monster, we know.
And my ego's man, I'm saying, you think you fly, huh? You ain't look, the amateur getting here, kick your ass, you better get on top of your game. You wanna get embarrassed in front of these people?
And I'm little David who only has God on my side, which is only all I need.
So, are you tuning in?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Dude, we are in COVID, right? Like, what else do we have to do? There's nothing on TV, barely. Yes, I'm absolutely tuning into this. I am zeroed in, locked in. I'm watching this sideshow. I cannot wait to see an old Mike Tyson, an old Roy Jones Jr. I'm a little afraid for Roy Jones Jr., though. I'm like, I know they're both old. Roy's a little younger. I just feel like if Mike Tyson catches that guy, he could go to sleep, man. Oh. I mean,
it's weird because I don't know if this happened as a result of something I searched for on Facebook, but the Facebook's video feed is now populating all the time. If you're on Facebook at all, you're seeing it all the time. This like stream, endless stream of videos that keep you sort of, you know, down the rabbit hole in Facebook for longer than you want to be. And mine is filled with Mike Tyson fights. And I can't really understand why. I mean, I actually was a boxing fan when I was younger. And I made the pilgrimage to watch the Mike Tyson, Michael Spinks fight, which we got there, sat down, everyone opened up a beer, and it was over. It was like a 47-second fight, and then we had nothing to do for the entire evening. Yeah. I liked watching the guy fight, and I understand this was pre all of the other stuff, but at one particular point, I mean, prize fighting was the thing. I mean, everyone watched it. Certainly, you know, we know Ali and whatnot. It was. It's. I always hate to see an older guy who seems to still have their stuff together get back in the ring because it gets increasingly dangerous to do so. But you're kind of right in that there's something weirdly compelling. And also, who are you rooting for in this fight? I mean, I'd probably be rooting for Mike Tyson.
Yeah, I'm rooting for Mike. I like Roy Jones, you know what I mean? And like he said, you heard him say, he's David versus Goliath, right? All I need is God, and that's what I have. And, you know, Roy Jones was a guy who, for those who don't know, he was one of the best fighters ever. Roy Jones
Absolutely.
At his peak was completely amazing. He would pick a guy apart, have fun with him, dance with him. But at some point, it was like with Roy, once he got knocked out, that was it. It was just like he was never the same again. But Mike Tyson, it's just, I don't know. He's one of the most interesting characters of our time. You said it. It's hard to see someone who has their stuff together get back in the ring. I would say it's more Mike holds it together. I don't think he has it together. Everything
that's
he talks about.
Excellent observation.
Okay, yeah, the way he talks is like, you know, like he's so close to snapping. Like he still says the people around him are snakes. He says, I know these people are around me. They don't really love me or trust me. Or I don't trust them, but they're here because I make them money and I'm a paycheck. And I mean, he's so candid, so he gets it. But it's interesting. One side note to anybody, if you're thinking about it, the fight is tomorrow night. Mike Tyson, Roy Jones Jr. pay-per-view. But also on the undercard, Nate Robinson, former University of Washington, Rainier Beach Viking, went on to the NBA. The guy does everything. He played cornerback, basketball. Now he is hopping in the ring. You should go follow Nate. He's been training, getting up at 6 a.m., eating raw eggs, whatever the stuff these boxers are doing. He's doing it.
Who's
and
he fighting?
He's fighting a guy. He's fighting on the under. I forget the guy's name. We'll say it when we come back. It's crazy because Nate is my height, which if you don't know me, that's not very tall. And so he's my height, and he's getting in the ring to fight. This is going to be awesome. I have nothing else to do. If you want a sideshow, pay-per-view tomorrow night, why not?
All right, then. Welcome back to the Tom and Curly Show. Tom and Curly, we're not here today, as you probably know, unless you just tuned in. It has been Dre's and me, Mike Lewis. Dre's, you lost the opportunity to go on a tour that you had already booked early in the pandemic. You just mentioned that on the last segment. When you actually do, when your musical career, at least the traveling portion of your career resumes, hopefully soon in spring, or even sooner perhaps, are you interested in this idea that is being propagated by the airlines? Certainly British Airways is going to be testing it, and is the idea of a inoculation, a coronavirus vaccine passport, an ID that confirms that you have received the vaccine. Is that something you feel like you would embrace to be able to get back on a flight and head to another country?
No, I wouldn't. I'm not for it, man. Again, I know I'm a conspiracy theorist, but this is spooky, man. Like, it sounds very... Everything always sounds so light and feathery and, you know, like we're resolving something and we're doing this for the safety and for all of that. But I think we have to look at the larger implications of something like this. I wouldn't be for that.
So what do you feel like? Do you feel like that is just something that we should wait until we feel like we're at a certain level of the population inoculated, or do you feel like we should just maybe, like, everyone should be able to make their own adult decision about getting on a flight and the risk level they're in?
Well, let's be clear. We are in, this is COVID, and so it is, this is not easy. There's no easy answer for this, so I don't want anyone to hear this and think, you know, I'm like, hey, there's no easy answers. There's not easy answers for a ton of things, right? Financially, for businesses, individuals, we are struggling. And honestly, you have to think of the other side of this, right? Where now you're forcing people, you get this vaccine, and if you don't get this vaccine, then you can't fly. Well, what else? Where does that stop? You can't eat here. You can't sit here. You can't do this. And now this very thing that we're doing that we hope to be good starts infringing on the liberties of so many people. You're forcing people who may not believe in vaccines, who don't want to participate, who don't trust this vaccine, whatever reason, right? Everyone is, this is why we're a free country. You have the freedom to think and believe what you want. But for me, I'm like, no, I don't like that idea, because now what? So if someone doesn't have the vaccine, they can't fly to Europe or Chicago, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, well, that,
I mean, I know this.
I think that's the idea. I think that's actually the idea. I mean, so the test program, this is according to the Seattle Times, it's a story out of Bloomberg. The test program will begin with British Airways parent company this year before arriving on Apple devices in the first quarter and Android devices in April. This is the airline lobbying, global airline lobbying group. Travelers will be able to share their status with border authorities or present a QR code for scanning. Qantas said Monday that it will be a necessity on its international passengers. Once a big airline does this, they tend to communicate with each other before they do something like that to see if they're going to be the only one not doing it. All right, so I'm a music promoter. I call you up. I say, I've got this show. I want you to go to Buenos Aires, and then from there to Rio de Janeiro. I've got this big show. You're going to be a big part of it. Unfortunately, to travel to both those countries, you're going to need to show your COVID passport. Do you say no?
I don't know. I don't know where I'm at with the vaccine. That's a different question.
Fair enough.
Where I'm at with the vaccine for me personally, I don't know. I haven't answered that question, and I don't have to answer it until it gets here, right? And then I'll learn, and I'll educate myself, and I'll make a decision then. However, I just want to maintain the freedoms for anyone else, right? If you don't want to, you don't have to. I think it's wrong that you should not be able to travel. You guys are letting us travel now with masks on. Let them put a mask on.
Well,
right?
except that other countries, I mean, yes, that's true for domestic travel, but it is not true for international. I mean, there's countries that say, especially when you've got a country, I won't name this country, but there's a country having a horrific rise in the number of cases nationally. But they're switching over world leaders here shortly in January. That country will remain unnamed. And citizens from that country have a very difficult time right now getting entry into other countries unless they are agreed. Like if you want to go to Taiwan, for example, or New Zealand, for example, you quarantine for 2 weeks before you can actually leave a hotel. I mean, but to make sure that you don't have it. So it actually is.
Then put that in place. Put that in place, right?
The 2 weeks.
I'm simply saying, put the 2 weeks. I'm saying however you're allowing people to travel now internationally.
Right.
It may not happen to every single country.
Right.
But however you're allowing people to travel internationally, it should be the same thing, right? Or don't let us travel now. Right. Like, well, why are you letting people travel now? Why is it sufficient? Well, there's a vaccine, so now you have to get that measure. No, if it's sufficient now, if my mask and goggles are sufficient now, they should be sufficient then.
Well, they are sufficient, but they're sufficient partially. I mean, you know, I don't know that everyone has, for example, let's just say you have 2 weeks annual vacation, right? And you really want to go to France with your partner.
Yeah.
And you get there, and that whole two-week vacation is in an airport hotel that you have to order in meals so you can go through your quarantine process, or you can show them that you got the vaccine. I mean, where do you think most people, what side of the fence do you think most people are going to end up on?
Oh, listen, I'm counting on everyone going to get it. Please do. I need everyone to go get it, because if everyone goes get it, this thing becomes slowly but surely something we're no longer talking about.
Fair enough.
Everything just
fair enough.
The excitement around it, the talk around. I mean, if 80% of the population right now had the vaccine, this thing would be nothing. There'd be nothing we'd be talking about.
That's entirely true.
Right? Because
that's
right.
And that's the way the math works on it too. That's right. I mean, if you get over 70%, you pretty much you're getting very close to eliminating it, the threat of it entirely.
I'm saying, I'm promoting that you go get it so I don't have to. How about that? That's where I'm at. Go get the vaccine so I don't, so I don't have to. So.
I actually kind of like that as a public relations campaign. You get the vaccine so I don't have to. I actually don't, yeah. And I get your point, and I actually really, I hadn't thought about it that way, but if we're doing things now, there's no reason we can't continue to do those things until we still get through this. And for people who have the option of not traveling, I mean, this is also, and your point also that you were getting close to. I think that what you were starting to say was, remember who is actually pushing for this? This is not as much government's pushing for this as business pushing for this, because
yes,
business wants that money back, right?
So that's what I'm trying to say is like, I was going to ask you, like, Mike, is there any part of you, because I know I come on here and I'm a conspiracy theorist. I, you know, one or two per show. I'm going to throw one out. That's okay. But I'm saying, people, if I was to ask the average listener, do you trust the food industry in America? You'd probably say no. Do you trust the education system? You'd probably say no. Do you trust the justice system? You'd probably say no. So if you can't trust any of the systems, do you trust big business to do the right thing? No, because it's driven by money. So if you don't trust anyone, where is the something in you that should go, man, I need to be looking at this with a fine-tooth comb and making sure I'm not just accepting everything on the surface. Mike, is there any part of you that, is there any conspiracy theory with you around this, around a passport? Or are you kind of like, nah, I think everything's on the up and up?
I'm not sure everything's on the up and up. I'm also not terribly concerned that if I get a vaccine, if the planet knows about it in some fashion, I don't mind that. Now, when we go deeper into this, like when we start deciding that there is this larger biological passport, right, that talks about if you've got allergies and starts to really sort of itemize what your actual condition is, that's when I start to get worried. And is this a step that direction? I think you're completely correct.
Yes.
When you say that. But I would also say that if I have to show, when I flew to, I got really lucky, a buddy of mine got me involved in a business promotion thing he was doing. We ended up going to watch a couple of Warriors preseason games in China a couple of years ago, which was loads of fun.
Okay.
Really interesting.
Yeah.
But traveling through China, immediately upon entering, they gave me a temperature check. Right? You had to go through a line to get a temperature check to make sure you're not walking in there with a fever. And this is pre-coronavirus. When I flew from Shenzhen to Shanghai, another temperature check. When I flew out of the country, another temperature check. And so it was not unusual to get that sort of screening. Now, that is that thing specific? Well, I don't know. If you're doing a temperature check and you have facial recognition technology, they know who you are and they know what your temperature is. So is knowing your vaccine necessarily that a bridge too far? For me, I don't know. It doesn't bother me, I guess, as much as I would think that it should. You know, I'm trying to gin up some frustration about it, but I don't really have a whole lot. I just want things to get faster to normal.
That's, to me, that's what the powers that be are counting
totally,
on.
Totally.
We're going to want things to get back to the normal so
and we're
going to
trade away our rights. That's true.
Yes. Give you your rights and you can take this vaccine and let's make another $1 trillion.
I think you are absolutely spot on that. Welcome back to the Tom and Curly Show. Dre's is here. I am also here at least for a little bit longer. And you know what time it is? It is. No. It is not. It is nothing. It is absolutely nothing.
It's time for mail.
There
everybody.
We go.
That's right.
Is that it? No sound?
It's not firing.
I'm the mailman. Yeah. And you can shoot. I'm the mailman.
That's the sound.
That's it.
There we go.
Who needs recorded audio? We can go live with this. All right. Let's roll into the letters right now. Dre's, why don't you start?
All right, from the 253, just says thanks. Thank you, Mike and Dre's, for being live today.
And from 425, woohoo for the Mike and Dre's days.
Shopping local from the 206. Fremont Farmers Market is always my recommendation for visitors.
On business
oh,
owner.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, you had a little bit more on that one if you want to finish it.
Yeah, I thought it was switching over. Just okay. Fremont Farmers Market is always my recommendation for visitors, but for me, traveling to Philly and Maryland for work, all the food recommendations were no good. Terrible crab cakes and not very good Philly cheesesteaks. People are just used to what they know. Doesn't make it the best. I could agree with you.
On business owners who refuse to close, from 206, the Coco Bartini owner bought a business, and based on a set of rules, he pays taxes based on that set of rules. The state should abide by those rules, just like the business owner.
From the 206, as a business owner, you have skin in the game. You are a minority, though, so the governor doesn't care. You will become more conservative and have a broader understanding as you go. Accountability is what makes free enterprise work.
From 360, nice guys finish last. Who figured it applied to business and Jay Inslee?
From the 206, overtaxing the businesses that create goods and services while reducing the freedoms of the law-abiding citizen is not an approach that I support. I would much rather support free enterprise, accountability, and maintaining freedoms. Hold the citizen accountable for what the citizen consumes. That applies to drugs, alcohol, debt, internet.
On Amazon sending workers home, from the 206, if an employee is scheduled and turned away, they still have to be paid for 4 hours.
Amen. Help from the state during COVID, 360. Main thing right now is about adaptability. If your old job is no longer in need because of the shutdowns, you have to go out and find something else to do and not rely on the government so heavily, because that's what the government wants you to do.
From 360, praise be to our dear leader, Governor Inslee, for destroying the economic lives of the poorest among us and doing nothing to help them. But the state still collects every tax to feed its insatiable appetite. Go Inslee, we will follow you to the grave, because you're going to starve us to death before you're willing to admit the pain you have caused.
On Section 230, legal backbone of the internet, 206 says, we need to protect our freedom of speech. I need to take responsibility for what I consume as a citizen who supports freedom of speech in the USA. Make the consumer responsible.
From 253, they became publishers when they get involved. That is it for the Dres. I wanted to say this actually one quick thing before we get off the air. Dres, it was I was super looking forward to working with you. I loved it when we did the show together. I think, gosh, I don't know. It feels like 35 years ago because of the last year has just dragged and dragged and dragged. But I was looking forward to it, so it's always a delight to get on there with you.
Likewise, man. This is dope. I had a blast. People, please stay safe. Have a great weekend. Support a local business. Tomorrow is Small Business Day, man. You got to support a local business. Make sure you do that.
That's all she wrote.
That's all she wrote.
Didn't write no more.
Didn't write no more.
She left the gloom a-hanging round my front door.